until you change the underlying behaviors, we're going to continue to see the same outcomes that we've always seen in these programs.
Hi, and welcome to GAO's Watchdog Report, your source for fact-based, nonpartisan news and information from the U.S. Government Accountability Office. I'm your host, Holly Hobbs.
Each year, GAO provides a quick look assessing the Department of Defense's major weapons programs. We look at things like investments, schedules, and practices for acquiring and developing weapon systems. This year's assessment comes at a time of significant internal changes to DoD's weapons acquisition process. Joining us to talk about our latest assessment is GAO's Shelby Oakley, an expert on DoD acquisition policy and a director in our contracting and national security acquisitions team. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, I appreciate you having me.
So Shelby, this is our 22nd annual quick look, and we're looking at DoD's weapon systems. What's new this year?
Well, unfortunately, the new news this year isn't really new. DoD is continuing to struggle with delivering innovative technologies quickly to the warfighter. We did some analysis this year that looks at how long it's taking, and on average, it's about 10 years. And this is despite many years of reforms that have been focused on trying to speed up capability delivery. And that's the unfortunate news this year.
Last time we talked was in 2020. And at that time, DoD was looking to revamp its acquisition policy because of concerns that the process was too slow, it was too bureaucratic. What changes did DoD make, and did they work?
Yeah, at that time, DoD had just revamped its acquisition policies, and they implemented what's called the Adaptive Acquisition Framework. And this was intended to provide different pathways for programs to take based upon the unique aspects of their program. So they could really tailor in or tailor out requirements and use the pathway that was the most appropriate. The whole goal of this adaptive acquisition framework was to allow for speed and flexibility in the process. But again, we're continuing to see programs just take a long time to get out to the warfighter. Let me give you an example. There's a pathway called the middle tier of acquisition pathways. This is the pathway intended for speed. This is the pathway that folks are supposed to use if they want to deliver a capability to the warfighter within 2 to 5 years. We're seeing with that pathway programs continuing to take just as long to develop that capability and field that capability, or planning to take just as long to develop and field that capability. So it's really calling into question how well these pathways are working to encourage that speed and innovation. My one key line that I always say about these programs and what that pathway has been providing is it's providing programs an opportunity to start fast, not necessarily finish fast. And that's a really important distinction.
Shelby, is there an example among weapon systems that kind of illustrates how long some of these acquisitions can take?
Yeah, the B-52 commercial engine replacement program is one of those programs that I think is a good example. This is an engine replacement for our strategic bombers that have been in operations since the 1950s. The program started out on that middle tier of acquisition pathway and has spent 5 years on that pathway and is now transitioning to another pathway and is going to require at least 8 more years in development before that engine is fielded. So that's 13 years for this engine program. And I don't know about you, but to me, that's not really fitting the bill of quicker capability delivery when we see that type of time frame on these traditional programs and on those traditional pathways that we've always used.
So that was the B-52, which my dad flew.
Oh!
What are some of the other major weapon systems that we looked at and some of the challenges we found?
Yeah, we looked at 69 other programs in depth this year, so it's a pretty expansive review. I'll call your attention to a couple of programs across the services that are experiencing particular challenges this year that we want to highlight. First, the Navy's frigate program. This is what's called a small surface combatant program. It's intended to be based off of a modified design of the frigate that the Italian Navy uses. This program has faced ongoing delays. It's been challenged in adopting that foreign design to the Navy survivability requirements. It continues to lack key information to complete the design effort, and it's dealing with significant workforce issues at the shipyard. In April, the Navy announced that even though the program just really started construction, it's already projecting a 3-year delay in lead ship delivery. And one thing I want to make sure to point out about this program that's important to remember is the frigate program was put in place because of failures on the littoral combat ship program that never lived up to expectations and is just being fielded and is actually going to be decommissioned pretty quickly after that. Another high-profile program that we've looked at is the Air Force's Sentinel program. This is the land leg of the nuclear triad, and it's a pretty expansive effort to replace that existing capability. In January 2024, the Air Force reported an acquisition unit cost increase of at least 37%. This triggered what's known as a Nunn-McCurdy breach, which means you got to go back and relook at the program and determine, you know, what you can do and reset baselines. And the Air Force is in the process of doing that now. The program has experienced significant technical challenges and management problems as well. In addition to things that are outside of its control, like, you know, workforce issues and that kind of thing. So those are just two kind of big examples of programs that we've seen that are currently challenged.
Given these continuing challenges, even after the 2020 revamp, is DoD considering other changes?
Well, we hope so, because we're making some recommendations related to that. Our recommendations are focused on getting DoD to act more like commercial companies in how they go about acquiring these big systems. We've done a lot of work looking at how commercial companies approach acquisition, and they do it in what's called an iterative process. They identify a minimum viable product or the initial set of capabilities that they can achieve. They iterate on that design. They field that capability, all with the intention of continuing to modify it and upgrade it as they go forward. And that middle tier of acquisition pathway really presents an opportunity for programs to think about structuring their acquisitions in this way. Additionally, and this is a big challenge across the Department of Defense and actually other federal agencies, is, you know, software and cybersecurity. And we have looked at DoD's challenges in this regard, which are becoming increasingly critical because of the types of systems that the department is buying. It's no longer just hardware-based systems with a little bit of software to ensure the hardware functionality. These are really software-based systems. And DoD has been trying to take steps to improve its capabilities for software development and oversight of software development, and has been a little slow in that regard. The Congress directed DoD to develop what's called a software cadre to provide that expertise across the organization to help programs as they develop their acquisition strategies and execute on them. Unfortunately, as of now, the software cadre has about one federal employee supporting it for all of DoD with some contractor support.
Shelby just told us that despite revamping its process, the DoD still faces a number of challenges that have resulted in costly delays in its acquisition programs. So, Shelby, why is the issue of timely acquisition so important? What's the bigger picture here?
The bigger picture is that the threats continue to change. We now have near-peer adversaries, which we haven't had in this country for a very long time. These adversaries are now producing weapons and capabilities at a pace that is causing concern within the federal government, within the Department of Defense specifically. DoD expects China to continue to modernize its forces into one that really could become a challenge for the United States across the spectrum of all of our capabilities. Obviously, Russia is an increasing military threat and unpredictable, and its actions are concerning for the United States. So because of all of this, we need the ability to be able to keep pace with technology and innovation.
So given that, what more do we think DoD should be doing to improve its acquisitions process?
DoD is taking steps in the right direction. They're trying to make change. But moving forward, they really need to think about how programs can be incentivized to not just start fast, but finish fast, and what that looks like and how they need to be structured to be able to do that. That would enable them to incorporate these leading practices that we've seen commercial companies successfully use to develop super innovative products that meet customer needs and provide them when they are expected. You know, as I mentioned before, DoD also needs to continue to improve its software development and cybersecurity efforts. This is going to be the key to maintaining innovation going forward. And if we lack expertise and can't continue to evolve and develop software and software-enabled capabilities at a pace that's in line with technology, we're going to continue to be challenged. So I'd like to see DoD continue to focus on both of those areas as well, too.
And last question, what's the bottom line of this report?
Establishing new policies really isn't enough. Until you change the underlying behaviors that lead to programs that aren't structured to leverage the flexibilities that are provided by the new pathways, we're going to continue to see the same outcomes that we've always seen in these programs, which will become increasingly concerning as we continue to deal with the challenges presented by near-peer adversaries.
That was Shelby Oakley talking about GAO's annual assessment of DoD's weapon systems. Thanks for your time, Shelby.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to The Watchdog Report. To hear more podcasts, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. And make sure to leave a rating and review to let others know about the work we're doing. For more from the Congressional Watchdog, the U.S. Government Accountability Office, visit us at gao.gov.